Rishus President Joel, Mr. Arbisfeld, Morev Rabosai, it's always a pleasure to be able to join you for this inspiring Kol Yom Rishon. The topic, as you know, this morning is somewhat complex, the notion of rabbinic authority. I will not exhaust the topic at all, but simply touch on certain aspects in Mar Makomos of a very pressing issue, Bizman HaGemara, as well as in our time, Bizman HaZeh. This past Shabbos, we're Zolcha Talein Parsha Shoftim. Shoftim v'shotrin titzei nocha b'chol sh'arecha. The Rambam writes in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Sanhedrin, the mitzvah of minui hadayanim. We're obligated to appoint, to establish a system of justice. This is an obligation not only for us, for Knesset Yisrael, but as the Ramban maintained, this is part of dinim, that even b'nei Noach are obligated to establish a system of justice. And the Gemara is bothered in Sanhedrin Daf Tezayin. The Pasuk tells us, She'arecha, as well as Lishvatecha. We're obligated to appoint Dayanim She'arecha at the gate. The Gemara interprets that that is B'chol Ir V'ir, each and every city. And also Lishvatecha, that every Shevet is obligated to have a Bezdin as well. Tosus is bothered by a very simple question, that the territory of a Shevet certainly is made up of many different cities, and if you're obligated to have a Bezdin v'chol ir ve'ir, certainly you will necessarily have a Bezdin shol oso ha-Shevet. Why then is it necessary to have this notion of a Bezdin of a particular Shevet as well? Tosus answers that it is a more technical requirement. Generally speaking, all you need is a Bezdin in each city. However, one could envision a split city. A city, for example, which is half in one Shevet, half in another. The Ramban cites the classic example of Yerushalayim. Part in Chelko Shel Yehuda, the other half in Chelko Shel Binyamin, and therefore it's not enough to have one Sanhedrin, but rather you have to have two Bati Dinim of Chav Gimel, you have to have B'chol Ir as well as B'chol Shevet. If you look, however, in the Ramban, the very beginning of Parsha Shoftim, the Ramban tells us that there is a hierarchy of Bate Dinim. There's a Bezdin in each and every city. But yet, above and beyond that, it is necessary to have a Bezdin Shel Oso HaShevet. And that is considered to be a higher Bezdin, although in number, it is Chaf Gimel, 23 Dayanim, comparable to Sanhedrin Ktana of each city itself. And therefore you have a Bezdin of three, a Bezdin of Chaf Gimel, of Ir, and then you have the towers above that, a Bezdin Shel Oso HaShevet. What is the role of the Bezdin of Oso HaShevet? The Ramban creates a fascinating analogy. The Bezdin of the Shevet is to that Shevet as the great Sanhedrin is all of Knesset Yisrael. What exactly does that mean? The Ramban writes as follows. Let's assume Koach HaKfiyah. Let's assume the two litigants are debating which Bezdin will they give their Din Torah to. One has the right to insist that I will go to the Bezdin of Oso HaShevet, since presumably that is a higher court. In such a case, I have the right to have my case heard by that particular Bezdin. And furthermore, the Ramban writes, the same is true when it comes to a case of indecision. If a lower Bezdin is unable to come to a concrete conclusion, then they will take their case not immediately to the Sanhedrin Hagdola, but rather to the Bezdin of Oso HaShevet. And then the Ramban writes as follows, that Bezdin of Oso HaShevet has the right to create takanos and gzeros for that particular Shevet, just as Bezdin HaGadol can do so for all of Knesset Yisrael. And therefore, this Bezdin can enforce new legislation on their Shevet, even though it doesn't apply to the balance of Knesset Yisrael as a whole. This point is explicitly against the Rambam, where the Rambam begins, Perak Aleph, Halacha Aleph, Efilchos Mamrim, Bezdin HaGadol B'Yerushalayim. Only Bezdin HaGadol has the koach of takanos, gzeros, and minhagim, but the Ramban writes that is not true. That is even covered by Bezdin Shel Oso HaShevet. And the Ramban goes a step further, cites the Sugya in Horios and Dafei, the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. We know that there is a carbon of Parhelam Davar shel tzibur, a case of a shigagas hara. The Sanhedrin makes a grievous error, and they instruct us that something is permitted where, in fact, it is an issur daraisa, and therefore there is a chiyuv chatos. One perhaps would have thought that each individual who follows the Sanhedrin is obligated to bring an individual korban. The Gemara tells us that no. A korban is offered collectively on behalf of all of Knesset Yisrael. This is termed a par helem davar, shel tzibur. This applies to Bez Din HaGadol. Rabbi Huda tells us a great chiddush that this will also apply to the Bez Din of Oso HaShevet. If, for example, the Shevet tells us something is mutter, and the entire Shevet follows in line with the instruction of that Bez Din, and it turns out the Psak was in error, in such an instance, then a single carbon is brought, there is a comparable Parum Davar Shel Tzibur, not only to Bez Din HaGadol, but even to the Bez Din of Oso HaShevet itself. Rabbi Huda tells us in the Sugi and Sanhedrin Daf Tezvav that when it comes to the Bez Din of Oso HaShevet, there is no chiyuv to do so, but nonetheless, it is a right. It is considered to be a higher Bez Din. The mitzvah of Minyo HaDayanim is b'chol ir v'ir. The Bez Din of Oso HaShevet is considered to be an option. And perhaps this is indicated even in the Rambam Shita as well. Because if you look in the Rambam, the very beginning of Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam tells us that there is a mitzvah of Minyan HaDayanim. Who is it that we appoint? We appoint Batei Dinim, b'chol ir v'ir, b'chol plach v'plach, in every city, in every district, they're obligated to do so. The Rambam omits kol shevet v'shevet. If you look in Kesef Mishnah leaves his Tzorachim. Why is it that the Rambam does not acknowledge the Bez Din of Oso HaShevet? If you look in the Lechem Mishnah on that Rambam, in Aleph Aleph, Lechem Mishnah cites the Rambam later, Perek Hei Halacha Aleph, where the Rambam acknowledges the Bez Din Shel Oso HaShevet. That is where the Rambam writes, it is the task of Bez Din HaGadol, the great Sanhedrin, to support all of the lower courts, and that includes the Bez Din of Ir, as well as the Bez Din Shel Oso HaShevet. Interestingly, in Perek Aleph, no mention of the Bez Din of Oso HaShevet. In Perek Hei, the Rambam acknowledges its existence and its status. Perhaps the answer is exactly within the Shita of Rabbi Huda. There is a concept, no doubt, of a Bez Din Shel Oso HaShevet, but according to the Rambam Shita, it is not part of the mitzvah of Minui HaDayanim. And therefore, when the Rambam begins and tells us that there is a mitzvah sasei to appoint Batei Dinim, the Rambam consciously omits the Bez Din of Oso HaShevet. But yet, in Perek Hei, when the Rambam discusses technically how that Bez Din is established, even that Bez Din is included as well. This is somewhat of the technical discussion regarding the status of a Bez Din Shel Oso HaShevet. But as mentioned, the Ramban writes that that Bez Din has koach hakfiyah, they have the right to enforce, they can establish takanos, gzeros, in minhagim, that are binding on that particular Shevet. As mentioned, this is against the view of the Rambam. Because the Ramban writes that what is it that empowers the Chachamim to create takanos and gzeros and minhagim? And the Rambam cites the pasuk from this Peshabbos, his Kriya Satora, the pasuk of Lo Sasur. When the Torah tells us that one is not allowed to deviate from the instruction of the Chachamim, the Rambam writes two very great chiddushim. Because this pasuk of Lo Sasur, two very basic questions. To which body does it apply? And to which instruction does it apply? And the Rambam writes as follows. Number one, it only applies to the instruction of Bez Din HaGadol. It doesn't apply to each and every Bez Din, but Lo Sasur applies uniquely to Sanhedrin HaGadol. The Rambam writes in the very beginning of Hilchos Mamrim, Bez Din HaGadol b'Yerushalayim. Seemingly according to the view of the Rambam, there are two requirements. Number one, Sanhedrin. Number two, Sanhedrin positioned in Lishkas HaGozis. If the Sanhedrin, for example, would convene elsewhere, the Gemara writes in Avodah Zarah that 40 years before the Churban HaBayis Siri, the Sanhedrin left the area of the Makom HaMikdash, Already at that point, it would appear from the Rambam that no longer was there necessarily that full status of Sanhedrin. And yet the Rambam in the Minyan HaMitzvos seems to disagree and maintain that no, there's a mitzvah lishmoa lechol Beis Din HaGadol. The Rambam writes in Minyan HaMitzvos and Kufayim Dalid that any Sanhedrin, one is obligated to listen to their instruction based on the Pasuk of Lo Sasur, even if they are not at that moment found in Lishkas HaGozis itself. So the Rambam's view is that Lo Sasur is limited to Sanhedrin, even if the Sanhedrin is not necessarily in the Lishkas HaGozis. And if you look in the Sefer HaChinuch, in Mitzvah Tov Tzadihei, the Sefer HaChinuch quotes this mitzvah lishmo ledivrei chachamim. There is a binding power of shalavicha v'yadgedcha, of lo sasur. And the Sefer HaChinuch concludes that this mitzvah applies b'chol makom u'b'chol zman. This is enduring. This is perpetual. Even without Sanhedrin, there is an isser of lo sasur. In what sense is that true? That's what the Sefer HaChinuch cites, that yiftach bedoro kishmol bedoro, that the halach of Lo Sasur is not limited to Sanhedrin at all, but rather it applies to Chachmei Hador Shebechol Dor Vador. That is the Chiddush of Sefer HaChinuch Mitzvah Tov Tzadihei. Lo Sasur is not limited to the Sanhedrin. When you have the Sanhedrin, that no doubt is the embodiment of the great Chachmei Yisrael, but yet it is enduring and applies b'chol makom u'b'chol zman to Chachmei Hador Shebechol Dor Vador. Very different views. The Rambam Sanhedrin, the Sefer HaChinuch to Chachmei Hador. I would suggest an interesting source for the machlokas between the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch. If you look in the Sifri, in Parsha Shoftim, the Sifri writes as follows. Uvasa, when a person has a quandary, he will go to the Beis Din. What Beis Din are we referring to? Uvasa, the Sifri writes, the Rabbos, Beis Din Shebiyavna. Even the Beis Din of Yavne is included. Rabbi Nehillel explains in his Pirush on the Sifri that even the Beis Din of Yavne is within the framework of Lo Sasur. And if you'll deviate from their instruction, you violate that Isser Torah. So you have an explicit Sifri that tells us that this applies to Beis Din Shebiyavne. But I'll ask you a very simple question. What was the status of the Beis Din of Yavne? It certainly was a Vad HaChachamim. The Beis Din would convene. There were 71 Chachmei Yisrael, the same number of the Sanhedrin, but certainly it was not found in Lishkas HaGozis. This was in Yavne, not in the Makam HaMikdash. What was the status of the Beis Din Shebiyavne outside of Lishkas HaGozis? Here it's clear that this is a machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban. This is found elsewhere in Sefer HaMitzvos and Kufnun Gimel, where the Ramban writes as follows. Everyone agrees, in order to have capital punishment, it is necessary that you have a Sanhedrin that convenes b'makom ha-mikdash b'lishkas ha-gazis. That's the pasuk el ha-makom ha-shayivchar Hashem melamed shahamakom goreim. And therefore, without Beis HaMikdash, without lishkas ha-gazis, you cannot have capital punishment. Is that a detail within Dinin HaFashos? Or perhaps could one suggest that that reflects the entire status of this Sanhedrin as a whole? The Ramban writes in Sefer HaMitzvos Kufnun Gimel that at the time that the Sanhedrin was exiled from the Beis HaMikdash, batlo mimenu kol hadinim hatluyim b'Sanhedrin. They no longer had the status of Sanhedrin at all. And the Rambam disagrees and maintains that's not true. They maintained the status of Sanhedrin, even though they were outside of the area of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, a Beis Din of Yavne, 71 Chachamim, outside of Makam HaMikdash, according to the Rambam, it had a status of Sanhedrin. According to the Ramban, it did not. And yet the Sifri writes that the Pasuk of Lo Sasur applies to Beis Din Shebiyavne. What do we derive from that Sifri? According to the Rambam, all we know is that Lo Sasur applies to the Sanhedrin even outside of Lishkas HaGozis. But according to the Ramban, that body did not have the status of Sanhedrin at all. And therefore the Sifri is telling us apparently then a much greater Chiddush, namely that Lo Sasser applies beyond the Sanhedrin to Chachmei Hador. And that is the source of the Sefer HaChinuch in Tav Tzadihei, that this mitzvah is noheges b'chol makom u'b'chol zman, yiftach b'doro, kishmuel k'doro. In such a case, there is an iser of Lo Sasser. So on one level, the Rambam limits Lo Sasser, Sanhedrin. On the other hand, the Chinuch expands. It applies to Chachmei Hador shebechol dor vador. But in a certain sense, the Rambam greatly expands the parameters of Lo Sasser of rabbinic authority as follows. To what instruction does it apply? The Rambam is explicit in the very beginning of Hilchos Mamrim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, and Halacha Beis. It applies to Tanhag, to Takanos, Gzeros, Uminhagos. That is the Lashon HaRambam. It applies even to Dinim Drabanan as well. When I violate an Isser Drabanan, really you're encroaching, you're infringing on the Isser Daraisa of Lo Sasser. Lo Sasser is not limited to Pirish HaTorah. Lo Sasser applies even to Dinim Drabanan as well. That is the Chiddush of the Rambam's view. If you have a minhag Yisrael, in such a case, at times, if a person will breach that minhag, he will violate the Issa Daraisa of Lo Sasser. That is what the Rambam writes explicitly in the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban writes, on the one hand, perhaps Lo Sasser could apply to other Batei Dinim, but it certainly doesn't apply to mitzvos Drabanan. After all, the Ramban is known for the Kasha. If that is really true, that every din d'rabanan really infringes on the Sasa d'araisa, how is it that we understand so many differences between dinim d'araisa as opposed to dinim d'rabanan? The Gemara that writes in Brachos Kafalef that Safek d'rabanan is lakula, shouldn't every Safek d'rabanan be a Safek d'araisa? The Gemara that writes in Sachim and Daftes that we have a concept of tliya, the possibility of leniency in dinim d'rabanan. Every din d'rabanan should infringe on a din d'araisa. We should assume the chumrah. The Gemara writes ben hashmashos, one can be makel on dinim d'rabanan, but makom safek and not dinim d'araisa. Isn't that an artificial distinction? Every safek d'rabanan should be a safek d'araisa. And therefore, the Ramban adamantly disagrees, maintains that Lo Sasser is only limited to Pirish HaTorah. The Torah tells us not to do malacha on Shabbos. When the Chachamim tell us that malacha means lamites malachos, as a din d'araisa, that is Lo Sasser. They're telling you this is the meaning of the pasuk. This is Truman HaTorah. Whenever you're dealing with beyond dinim d'araisa, Ner Chanukah, Kriyas HaMegillah, and the like, that is not included min HaTorah in Lo Sasser at all. So whereas according to the Rambam, Lo Sasser embraces dinim d'araisa, according to the Ramban, that is not true. Is there any difference between the view of the Rambam and the Ramban? Because look, we'll have to discuss, but the Ramban certainly is going to admit that you have to observe dinim d'rabanan as well. Even if technically speaking, you'll tell me that it's not included in Lo Sasser. But nonetheless, obviously, there must be some binding power. So if everyone agrees that you have to observe dinim d'rabanan as well, and even the Rambam will agree that a safek d'rabanan is lakula, so is there any practical difference between the Rambam and the Ramban? Their machlokas is a fascinating one, but they argue about a very technical point. We had mentioned an individual who is a zakein mamre. A zakein, he is higil lahora, is mora lasos kineged hasanhedrin. In such a case, that individual is chayev misa. What happens if he contests the authority of the Sanhedrin, not regarding a din d'araisa, but only regarding a din d'rabanan? The zakein mamre publicly will state that there is nothing wrong with eating chametz on erev Pesach at 11 o'clock in the morning. The Isra Achila only begins at Chatzos, but not at Shoshishis. The Rambam writes that even though there is only a Din Rabbanan, that individual is rendered a Zakein Mamre Min HaTorah, and therefore he is guilty of a capital crime. And the Ramban disagrees and writes in Sefer HaMitzvos, that certainly is not true. How can you be a Zakin Mamre Daraisa for a dispute which is only on the level of Derabbanan? That is the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, but again a critical one. Whether Lo Sasur even embraces Dinin Derabbanan as well. How do you understand this notion of the Rambam's view, that Lo Sasur applies to Dinim Derabbanan? Is it really true that if a person violates an Isser Derabbanan, he violates an Isser on a level of Daraisa? Apparently you can't argue that the Rambam will agree that there's equation, that there's symmetry between Dinim Daraisa and Dinim Derabbanan. How exactly do you understand this? So the Mabit in Kirya Sefer, in the very beginning of Hilchos Mamrim, suggests an interesting distinction. If a person, for example, fails to fulfill a mitzvah min HaTorah, that is forbidden min HaTorah. What happens, according to the Rambam, if a person fails to hear the Megillah, fails to light Ner Hanukkah? Is that an Isser Daraisa, or is that only an Isser Derabbanan? The Mabit in Kirya Sefer writes, even according to the Rambam, it depends. I'll ask that individual, what was your motivation? Why did you fail to hear the Megillah? Why did you fail to light the Ner Hanukkah? If his answer is that it was out of laziness, you know, I should have, but I didn't, that is simply failure to fulfill a mitzvah Derabbanan. But if he answers out of conviction, that I deny the right of the Chachamim to establish this mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah or Kriya Samegillah, then in fact he violates the Issa Daraisa of Lo Sasur. The Mabit writes in Kriya Sefer, it doesn't mean that the flavor of the Din Daraisa and the Din Derabbanan are the same. The mitzvah Daraisa is the Tzivui HaTorah. The mitzvah Derabbanan is in the broadest sense of a mitzvah lishmoa ledivrei chachamim. And therefore, as long as a person will acknowledge that he should have paid heed, he should have listened to the divrei chachamim, but for whatever reason he didn't fulfill a particular mitzvah, that is only considered to be a breach on a level of Derabbanan. I would perhaps sharpen the distinction with the following example based on the Yerushalmi. When it comes, for example, to the mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Em, we know that there is no bracha on that mitzvah. It's a fascinating topic for another shiur. Which mitzvahs did Chazal entertain a bracha? In which one is no brachas decided? Lengthy discussion in Shuvas HaRashban Chilak Aleph in Simen Yud Ches. Kibbud Av V'Em is a clear example of a mitzvah where there is no bracha. The Rambam writes is because essentially Kibbud Av V'Em has been Adam Lechavera, and the Rambam writes that there's no Birchas HaMitzvah on mitzvahs that are ben Adam Lechavera. Interesting position of the Rambam's view. And therefore, when it comes to tzedakah and the like, no Birchas HaMitzvah is in fact recited. Let's assume for argument's sake there would be a bracha on Kibbud Av V'Em. What do you think the text of that bracha would be? A child comes home, and his father says, could you please bring me a cup of water? And he's going to recite a bracha on this mitzvah. His mother asks, would you please close the door? What would the nusach bracha be? The bracha would be hoshata samayim, fetching that cup of water. The bracha would be segira sadela, as he would tell me no. Those are the practical manifestations of Kibbud Av V'Em. But the mitzvah is not bringing the water, the mitzvah is not closing the door, the mitzvah is l'chaved aviv imo. If there would be a bracha, the bracha would be a general one, it would not be a specific one, because the mitzvah would simply be one of paying heed to the instruction of parents, not necessarily the specific example at hand. The reason I give you that mashal is because of fascinating Yerushalmi. See, the Gemara writes in Sukkah Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph that there is a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi regarding Lulav and Esra. The first view, Am Rabbi Damar Shmuel, that mitzvahs Lulav kol Shiva. The mitzvah of Dalet Neminim is for all 7 days of Sukkot. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi disagrees and says, no, Yom Rishon, mitzvahs Lulav, Mikan va'elech mitzvahs zakenim. The first day, that's a mitzvah of lulav. The remaining days is only derabanan mitzvah zakenim. So whereas according to the first shita, Amar Rabbi Shmuel, the mitzvah of lulav is 7 days, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, day 1 min haTorah, day 7, derabanan. You know what's difficult? What are they disagreeing about? Everyone agrees that that is true. Lulav and Esrog is one day min HaTorah outside of Mikdash, the Pasuk of Lokachtam Lachem, and the balance of the days is only a Zecher LeMikdash, which is Dirabanan. So in fact, everyone would agree that the mitzvah is min HaTorah, single day, everything else is only Dirabanan. What is the machlokas between Amrav and Amar Shmuel and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? Rashi writes in that sugya in Sukkah and Daf Mem Vav that what is the context of that entire sukkah? Birchas HaMitzvah. And therefore the machlokas is, when do you recite the bracha of Al Netilas Lulav? According to the view of Amar Rabbi Amar Shmuel that we assume like Lahalacha, you require the bracha of Al Netilas Lulav each and every day. That's what we do. We recite a bracha Val Netilas Lulav the first day, the second day, and throughout the duration of Yantif itself. And here Rabbi Yishuv Levi assumes the great Chiddush Rashi explains that there are no brachos on mitzvos derabanan. And therefore you only recite a bracha on the first day. Mikan veilech, it is only a din derabanan mitzvah skenim. How can you recite Asher Kiddushan mitzvosav vitzivonu? How could that be? And therefore, Rabbi Yishuv Levi maintains the great Chiddush that there is no bracha on Netilas Lulav, with the exception of the first day. If you look in the Yerushalmi in Sukkah and Perek Gimel, the Yerushalmi writes, now everyone agrees that there is a bracha. But you know what the critical issue is? What is the nusach bracha? What is the text of the bracha? When it comes to Lulav and Esrog, on the first day, everyone agrees. Asher Kiddushin HaMitzvah V'Tzivanu Al Netilas Lulav. That is a tzivui of taking the Dalet Minim. What about when it comes to the balance of the days of Sukkot? What exactly, right, is that? That's a mitzvah of Netilas Lulav? That is the view of Rabbi Amar Shmuel. As we assume La Halacha, the same Birchas HaMitzvah that is recited on day one is recited throughout the duration of Sukkot. And here Rabbi Yishuv Levi disagrees. On the first day, yes. On the balance of the days, it is simply a mitzvah lishma the divrei chachamim. And therefore, the nusach habracha, according to Rabbi Yishuv Levi, of all mitzvos derabanan, are the same. Al mitzvah sakenim. The tzivui is not lulav. The tzivui is not Megillah, it is not Hadlokas Ner Chanukah, but rather it is Lishmoa V'Divrei Chachamim. And that is reflected in the Nusach HaBracha. Similar to my example of Kibud Av V'Em, where if there was a bracha, it wouldn't be a specific bracha, but rather reflecting the broad nature of the mitzvah itself. This is the interesting view of the Mabit, that Lo Sasa regarding Dinim Derabanan is understood in the broadest sense as a mitzvah klalis, but not specifically as relating to the act itself. There's a fascinating essay that Rabbi Chanan Wasserman has in the second view of Kovet Shiurim. It is entitled "That Kuntres Divrei Sofrim," and there in Os Lamed Beis he writes that he posed this question to his rebbeim, that he had two rebbeim. One was Reb Chaim, and the other was Reb Shimon Shkab. And he asked both on different occasions, what is the binding power of mitzvos derabanan beyond Lo Sasur? The Rambam limits Lo Sasur to Sanhedrin, and the Rambam limits Lo Sasur to Pirush HaTorah. Why is it that one must observe, if that is the case, dinim derabanan? And Rabbi Chanan writes that he received two very different answers from his Rebbeim, from Reb Chaim and Reb Shimon Shkab, and very interestingly, that reflected, in a very basic sense, the difference in Derech HaLimud between Reb Chaim and Reb Shimon as follows. When Reb Chaim was asked, what is the binding power of Dinim Drabanan according to the view of the Ramban, or according to the Rambam beyond Sanhedrin, you know what Reb Chaim's answer was? There are two halachos when it comes to Lo Sasur. Lo Sasur sometimes is a mitzvah protos. Sometimes Lo Sasur will tell us that the mitzvah derabanan is an extension of the category on a level of daraisa. And sometimes Lo Sasur is understood, as the Mabit writes, in the broadest sense of just a mitzvah lishmo ledivrei chachamim. Reb Chaim suggested as follows, that even the Ramban exists, understands the broadest application of Lo Sasur. The Rambam tells us lo sasur applies in a particular sense, as a mitzvah pratis. However, according to the view of the Ramban, it is only understood in the most general sense, as a mitzvah lishmol adivrei chachamim, similar to kibbud av va'em. Rabbi Chanan quotes a fascinating raya. You know, when it comes to the parsha of Sota, the Torah tells us that tragically, right, the husband suspects that his wife was an eshes ish zinsa. You know the details, there is kinui, there is stira, she's obligated to drink the mayim hamorin, and the Torah tells us, if she's innocent, then she will receive a bracha, but if she is guilty, the results will be catastrophic. The Torah itself tells us, in fact, if she is guilty, and the mayim haorin severely punish her, what role did the husband have, right, in this process? After all, he initiated. So the Torah tells us, if really she is of guilt, then nika ha'ish me'avon, that he really is exonerated. He was entitled to go ahead and to pursue kinui in stira, even if the result was a calamitous one. But the Gemara writes in Sota the following drashim in HaTorah. What does it mean, v'nika ha'ish me'avon, that the husband is freed of any avera? It means as follows. What type of husband can put his wife to the test of hashka, of the mayim hamorim? It is only v'nika ha'ish me'avon. If the husband himself meets that standard, the husband was free of such avera, then he has a right to go ahead and to impose that standard on his wife. But if he does not, if he was ever guilty of any bias iser his entire life, the Rambam writes that ein hamayim bokin es ishto. That is the meaning of the pasuk of anika ish meyava. If you're dealing with a husband who is righteous, in the sense that lo ba'al bias asura miyama, then the Rambam writes, hamayim bodkin es ishto. And if not, then not. That is the meaning of the pasuk of v'nika ish miyava. The mayim haorin will have no effect if the husband ever violated a bias isur. And then the Rambam writes the following chiddush, afilu ba'al harusoso bebeis komu. Even if the iser was that a maisudia occurred after erisin, but before nisuin. After erisin, before nisuin, that is not an iser daraisa. That is only an iser dirabana. And yet, ein hamayim bod kemes ishto. That's what Reb Chaim suggested that you see. According to the Rambam Shita, it is not just generally speaking that there is a mitzvah lishmol ledivrei chachamim, but rather, the instruction of the Chachamim has the character min haTorah of that category. An Isser Biyad Drabanan is called Arayos, and therefore, Ein Hamayim Bod Kemes Ishto. And that is what Reb Chaim explained, that everyone agrees, in the broadest sense, there is a mitzvah Yishmol Adivrei Chachamim. The dispute of the Rambam and the Ramban is, to what extent is that a mitzvah Klalis? Lishmol adivrei chachamim, to what extent is it considered to be part of pratei hamitzvah itself? And if you look elsewhere, there's a separate sefer which is called Kobetz Biurim. That is where Rabbi Chanan writes that he asked this question to Reb Shimon Shkab. What is the binding power beyond lo sasa? And Reb Shimon argued it is mikoach hasvara. It is not because of positive law, a tzivui, but rather common sense and logic dictates that you must follow the tzivui of the Chacham. A person, Rachman Litzlan, right, is ailing. And he goes to the group of doctors that are the most renowned throughout the world. Their reputation is impeccable. There's no doubt. What he will tell you is true, that Be'ezras Hashem will be the cure. Why is it that a person should listen to the instruction of that doctor? Because of positive law? Because he mandates? Because there's a law in the books that says you must? No. There Reb Shimon explains very simply, a person desires to live, uvachart uvachayim, to seek life. This is the appropriate cure. This is the appropriate refuah. And therefore logic dictates that one must, even if technically speaking, there is no tzivui. That's how Reb Shimon said that one must understand the instruction of the Chachamim, the Bali HaMasora, right, above and beyond the technical parameter of Lo Sasa. The Torah empowers them. That's what the Ran writes in Sanhedrin on Daf Peites. And therefore, if that is true, even if technically speaking you're beyond the realm of that Tzivui, but simply the Svaras Chazal, that itself imposes an obligation that we listen to their words. And therefore, we observe both elements, the Rambam of the broadest Losasar, and the Koach HaSvara that Rav Shimon mentions, the need to simply listen to Chazal, and is the Chinuch Reis Chaf Mehador Shebachol Dor Vador, because as Balei HaMesorah, the Torah tells us, the Sod HaShem Nireyev, that they are endowed with that sense of Chidush in Koach HaTorah, and therefore that is considered to be the binding power itself. This role of Shofet, the Ran comments in the Drasha Saran and Drasha Yir Aleph, is just one aspect of rabbinic authority. That is the Koach HaShofet. But you know, from this past Shabbos' Kriya Satorah, in addition to the Shofet, there is also the role of the Melech. And what exactly is the relationship between a Shofet and a Melech? We know that they are quite different. When it comes to a Shofet, as we discussed, that certainly is a mitzvah. Shoftim v'shotrin titin lecha b'chol sharecha. The mitzvah of minui melech, is that really a mitzvah in HaTorah? Is that an accommodation? That's a machlokas Rishonim. The Rambam writes that there's a mitzvah. Just as that there's a mitzvah to appoint a shofet, there is a mitzvah to appoint a melech as well. And Abarbanel and others argue that that is not the case. Don't you see from Sefer Shmuel that Knesset Yisrael were criticized for asking for a melech, and therefore melech is an accommodation? Shofet, that is considered to be the ideal. But we assume, as the Rambam Shita, that not only is there a mitzvah to appoint a shofet, a mitzvah to appoint a melech as well. And the Ran discusses at length in the Drashos and Drash Yir Aleph, what then is the dual role of the melech, right, versus the shofet. If you have a shofet, why is it necessary to have a melech? And the Ran beautifully explains as follows. The role of the shofet is to enforce the letter of the law. In an ideal society, that should be sufficient. But you know, practically speaking, that is not the case. In order to, for example, impose dini nefashos, imagine, a person has to commit a crime maliciously, b'mezid, there must be edim, there must be hasra immediately prior to that, toked edibor. The Gemara requires what we call yater atzma lemisa, that how does the person respond to the hasra? I realize what I am doing, and nonetheless, I will commit that particular crime. So easily, a murderer, a perpetrator, could avoid a capital punishment. The Gemara writes in Malchus, as you know, a bezdin that kills someone once in 7 or once in 70 years, that's a rarity. That's already a bezdin of rotzim. Even though, in an idyllic sense, no doubt, there shouldn't be even a shadow of doubt, but for society to exist, how can one insist on the Shuras Hadin, the level of the law, on that plateau? And therefore, the Ran answers, that is why the Torah envisions a melech. The role of the melech is melech b'mishpat ya'amir eretz, and that is, a melech has to establish a civil society. And sometimes it's necessary, as the Gemara writes, Sanhedrin Daf Mem Vav, makin va'onshin, Shalom in Hadin. Sometimes you have to be willing to punish, even if technically speaking, the requirements of the halacha have not been met. That is the more elastic authority that the Torah provides. The Gemara mentions in the Dharma Daf Chav Ches and Bava Kama Kuf Yud Gimel, Dina de Malchus Adina. We're obligated to observe the law of the land. The Vilna Gaon writes in Shulchan Aruch and Shin Samach Tes. All of that is based on the Parshas HaMelech. Dina Malchus Adina stems from that civil authority which is given to the Melech. And therefore, it's a more elastic authority in order to see to it that society will justly function. The Ran writes, you know, that's why it's necessary that the Torah insists that a Melech always has to write an additional Sefer Torah and the Karaval Kol Yemei Chayav. And he has to have it with him and utilize the Sefer Torah every moment of each day. Why is that so important? The Ram beautifully writes, when it comes to a shofet, it's not necessary. The shofet can only enforce the letter of the law. If the shofet will make a mistake, the sugyan sanirin daf lamed gimel, sometimes the shofet himself is obligated to pay out of his own pocket, and other times the psak halach is not binding at all. But a melech is given a more elastic authority. And the more elasticity, the less defined, the more it's subject to abuse, the din melech. And therefore, one of the safeguards that the Torah provides is that the melech has to write an additional Sefer Torah. The Gemara writes in Sanhedrin, also so min kameya v'tola alzeroa. He has to make like a tefillin. He always has to have it with him, that there be a constant reminder that even that elasticity has to be leman Hashem, has to be kederach haTorah as well. And then the Ran writes, and what happens if you don't have a melech? Then the shofet wears both hats. Sometimes the shofet will be called upon to enforce the letter of the law, but yet at other times the shofte Yisro will see to it that society will run in a civil fashion. That is not midin shofet, but rather that is considered to be midin melech. The Rambam writes in this parsha there's even a third model of leadership. There is that of the melech, the shofet, and then there's that of the navi. The Rambam writes, Nevuah is somewhat unique. Whereas when it comes to a case of a shofet nemelech, there's a mitzvah of minui. You appoint a shofet, you appoint a melech, there's no minui of a navi. A person has to perfect himself in order to become a navi. The Rambam adamantly disagrees with what he calls the view of the philosophers, where he writes that Aristotle believed that if a person reaches a natural faculty, he will necessarily be endowed with nevuah. If you are prepared, you will become an avi. And the Rambam writes that certainly is not true. The Rambam writes in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah that it is necessary that a person reach almost self-perfection to become an avi, but it's not sufficient. There's no guarantee. Nevuah means that you're tapped by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore there is no promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will tap an individual and endow him with nevuah, even if he is worthy of becoming a navi. There is a mitzvah minui of melech and of shofet. When it comes to a navi, we recognize that that role of leadership, that is something which is beyond Hashem. Just as in the broader sense, the koach of the shofet, even the koach of a melech, all emanate from that sense of hashras hashchina. Why is it so necessary, as we discussed, that the shofet position himself belishkas hagazis melamed shehamakom goreim? The Ramban writes in Parsha Shoftim in Perak Yates Pasuk Yates exactly this point. The shofet is the shliach Hashem, as is true when it comes to a melech, as certainly is true when it comes to a navi. All three requirements are necessary in order to have effective leadership of Knesset Yisrael. The realization, which is so obvious when it comes to a navi, that we are shluchei derachmana. Any power which is invested in us in a sense of rabbinic authority simply is because we represent Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah Hashem, and the need for the Chachmi Yisrael to position themselves, lishkas hagazis. The need when it comes to Navi, no doubt, to emphasize, as the Rambam writes, immense preparation which is necessary, perfection not simply in terms of Deos, but as the Rambam stresses, in terms of Midos HaTorah as well, in order to be among the B'nai HaNavim. And to recognize, even in an idyllic sense, that a shofet could in some sense be sufficient. We realize the role of the Melech in order to make sure that justice is in fact maintained, never to be guilty, as the Ramban writes, of a novel Birshus HaTorah, creating a society that perceived to be unjust, even though technically speaking, somehow we navigate and avoid violating a particular Avera. The Ran discusses this point in the Drashos, that is the confluence of the role of a shofet, a navi, and a melech. And no doubt that even though Bizman Hazeh, we don't have Nevi'im, we don't have a Melech, and even the Rambam writes, we don't even have those Shoftim of old, because we don't have the real Smicha that the Gemara speaks of, Ish mi pi ish mi Moshe Rabbeinu. But these models serve as examples for each and every one of us in terms of our Avodas Hashem. The role of the Shofet, and that is Zihirus, to be able to observe the letter of the law. The role of the Melech that recognizes that in areas of Ben Adam Lechavero, in areas of Ben Adam Lechavero, the Torah demands more than the letter of the law, but rather the Ratzon Hashem is found in those Sosser, is something which is so critical. And the role of the Navi that stresses the humility of self-perfection and the realization that everything is Hashkochas Hashem, and therefore it is our role as Shluchei Derachmana to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. During this period of intense Achana, the Gon writes that, you know, Yimei Elul already is the onset of the Yamim Noraim. It behooves of each of us to be able to direct ourselves in these three areas, because this is not something that is limited to leadership, but rather it sets the benchmark for Avodas Hashem of each and every one of us. The commitment of the Shofet, the understanding of the Melech, and the diligence of the Navi. Bezras Hashem, we should be Zoche, through understanding the threefold system of our justice, of our rabbinic authority, to be able to be Mashra Hashkochas Hashem Aleinu, to be able to await the time where once again we can welcome the Chachomim, the Zakenim, the Melech, and indeed the Navi, b'mheira v'yameinu.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Sachs. Again, there are spots in the back available for Rabbi Sachs for sale for $15. If anyone would like to purchase one, please let me know. We welcome everyone back again on September 21st. This year from our general leader, Rabbi David Hirsch, have a great week.